Last March the 31st, when President Donald Trump was arrested in Manhattan for supposedly violating campaign finance laws, former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi tweeted out this: "Everyone has the right to a trial to try to prove their innocence. Hopefully Donald Trump will respect the system that gives him that right." The cornerstone of our whole justice system is that people are innocent until proven guilty. So I don't care if it's Donald Trump or Donald Duck, you don't have to prove to the state that you're innocent. The state has to prove to you that they're guilty. And Nancy Pelosi knows that. But what it shows is that the left has absolutely no qualms at all about manipulating the justice system to take out anybody that they don't like. And folks, if they can do that to President Donald Trump, they can sure enough do it to us. So Christians, we've got to wake up, because our rights and freedoms are being attacked today on every single side by people who are hell-bent on replacing our freedom with woke socialist totalitarianism that will destroy this country and everything that God and our founding fathers intended it to be. So we're going to start doing that. We're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called Freedom Now, looking at how we can hang on to all those God-given rights and freedoms that are under attack right now. And we're going to start this series this morning by simply looking at what that freedom is really all about to start with. And to see that, we turn today to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Paul writes, "Now the Spirit, Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I pray you just teach us this morning where true freedom really comes from. And Lord, how it was protected and instituted in this country, and how much we need to be standing for it and protecting it and defending it. I pray you to come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you to open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. In this part of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is telling us how Moses, who had the Spirit of the Lord, had the freedom to take the veil off of his face when he was in the tabernacle in the presence of the Lord. And our text today is telling us that nothing separated Moses from having that freedom that God wanted him to have. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, because we Christians also have the Spirit of the Lord, nothing can separate us from the freedom that God wants us to have either. Our text this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, tells us three things that we need to know about freedom so that we can hang on to it before it's taken away for good. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to know about freedom, is that freedom comes from God. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verse 17. So freedom is not just a MAGA talking point. It's not just a dog whistle for racism. Freedom is not just another word for nothing left to lose for me and Bobby McGee. Freedom is a gift that comes from God. Here's a part of Joe Biden's 2020 campaign ad.
Freedom. Personal freedom is fundamental to who we are as Americans.
There's nothing more important, nothing more sacred.
That's been the work of my first term. To fight for our democracy.
This shouldn't be a red or blue issue.
To protect our rights, to make sure that everyone in this country is treated equally and that everyone is given a fair shot at making it.
Freedom? You can't question the 2020 election, no due process for January 6 detainees, no jab, no job. Joe Biden wants your free speech, your car, your gun, your gas stove. I could go on and on. Where's the Spirit of the Lord in that? Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord isn't, there is tyranny. Freedom comes from God. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us. Freedom comes from God because freedom is exactly what God is really all about to start with. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God created us to rule over everything that He made without being slaves to anybody else. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And our founding fathers knew that. The same God who gave us life, Thomas Jefferson said, gave us liberty. Declaration of Independence. All men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among them, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Freedom. God told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, they could eat from any tree in that entire garden except for the one in the middle. So the freedom that we have from God is only limited by the commands that we have from God. So when Governor J.B. Pritzker tells you parents that you do not have the right to determine what your kids are being taught in school, excuse me, I can't hear you over the sound of my own freedom. God created freedom long before He created government. So what's the purpose of government? Not to give us our rights and freedoms. The purpose of government is to protect the rights and freedoms that God has already given us, to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. And because government does not give us rights, God gives us our rights. Government can't take those rights away. Amen. Last March the 4th, Joe Biden said this, Americans, as of today, are free to not get the COVID vaccine. Excuse me, I was already free to not get the COVID vaccine because I was already a free citizen of a free country because my freedoms don't come from Joe Biden, they come from the Lord. Real freedom is not the right to do whatever it is we want to do. Real freedom is the right to do whatever it is God wants us to do. Last week, actor Kevin Bacon said this, drag is an art and drag is a right. Drag is a right. So right up there with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you have a God-given right to cross-dress like a transvestite and then grind half-naked up against little kids. People, that is not what you call a right. That is what you call a sin. Amen. Do people have any idea today what freedom is really all about? Freedom comes from God. And I realize when I say that, Christians listening to this are having the flop sweats. Kevin, you can't say that freedom comes from God because that's Christian nationalism and that's a threat to our democracy. So-called religious freedom expert Amanda Tyler said this, Christian nationalism is the biggest threat to America today, the biggest existential threat to our liberty and to our survival as a nation. Are you kidding me? Story of my life, I hear it every single day. Kevin, Christians shouldn't have anything to do with politics. Listen to me. When I got saved, Jesus Christ started governing every single area of my life. My marriage, my family, my job, my money. Jesus even governs my government. So if you're saying that Christians shouldn't have anything to do with politics, you are saying that there is an entire area of human life that's off limits to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. People, it's heresy. Where do you see that in the Bible? You don't. The church in America today is dying, people, because folks are fleeing churches in droves. And do you know why they're leaving? 2 out of 3 people who leave a church today say they leave because the pastor never talks about anything that's going on in the country. And I've got all kinds of pastors who tell me, Kevin, we're doing our job. We're preaching the gospel. That's our job. We preach the gospel here at Fox River too. But listen, if you can't stand up and speak out against a totalitarian regime that's trying to enslave you with digital IDs and digital currency, if you can't stand up and speak out against the left that's trying to queer your kids and telling them they can't read the Bible in school, but they can look at gay porn, then you are not doing your job because you are not being a watchman on the wall and you are not protecting the sheep from the wolves. For the 10 trillionth time. It's not about politics. It's about freedom. Founding Father Benjamin Rush was a born-again Christian. Started the American education system. Started Sunday school in America. Started colleges for women. Medical schools for black men. Benjamin Rush said the number one purpose of education is to teach young people how to love and serve God, how to love and serve their country, and how to love and serve their family. Notice the order. Because most Christians today would say, no, you need to love and serve your family before you love and serve your country. Benjamin Rush said, no, country then family. Because if you lose control of your country will start attacking your family. And people, that's exactly what's happening in America right now. So Christians, for crying out loud, quit hiding in your churches, grow a spine, put on your big boy and your big girl pants, and start defending your freedom. Because if you don't use your freedom to defend your freedom, you're going to lose your freedom. Freedom comes from God. But the problem is, America today has forgotten God. Only 20% of Americans still believe the Bible is the Word of God. Less than half of all Americans are still members of a church. Only 16% of millennials identify as Christians. Two-thirds of all young people in America have never once in their entire lives been to a church for any reason whatsoever. 98% of teenagers have never read one verse of Scripture. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. There grew up a generation that neither remembered the Lord or what He had done for Israel. And gee, do you think it's any coincidence that the less Christian we get as a nation, the less free we get as a nation? You forget about God, you forget about freedom. And folks who have any idea how quickly that all happened. The picture you see on the screen, believe it or not, was not photoshopped. Because it shows the New York City skyline in Manhattan's financial district on Good Friday, 1956, with certain windows of the City Services Building and Citibank and 40 Wall Street lit up in the dark to form three glowing crosses to remember that Jesus died on the cross on the first Good Friday between two thieves. And the reason that picture is kind of shocking is because it takes you back to a time in our country when people were not ashamed to talk about God or Jesus Christ or to make the statement that Jesus is really light of the world. And it reminds you, there really was a time in the history of this country where people realized this is a Christian nation. And America really does depend on God. And even people who weren't Christians still respected it. People look at that. The New York skyline has never looked better. And not only that, but the New York Times ran that picture for two straight days, Holy Week in 1956, right next to this big old ad that listed the Easter Sunday services for every church in New York City. Can you believe it? In God, we trusted. Because sadly enough, America has forgotten about God today. And because of that, as a result, ever since, New York has lit up skyscrapers to glorify all kinds of things that are totally opposite of what that cross represents. June 23rd, 1990, the upper half of the Empire State Building was lit up for Gay Pride Month. 2014, skyscrapers in New York City were lit up for World AIDS Day and Spirit Day for LGBTQ youth. January 23rd, 2019, after the New York State Legislature passed the most radical abortion bill up to that time that legalized the killing of any baby for any reason up to the very nanosecond that baby was born, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, to give a middle finger to pro-lifers, lit up the New World Trade Center in pink to celebrate abortion. The 9/11 Memorial, the national landmark that belongs to all Americans. The New World Trade Center, where 2,789 Americans died, including 11 unborn babies. Unborn babies that are specifically referred to on that memorial plaque as persons. So you memorialize the murder of people killed by terrorists, but you celebrate the murder of people killed by abortionists. You talk about shaking your fist at God. America's changed people drastically. And not for the better. And the scary thing is, that happened in less than one generation. You try to put a cross on a New York skyscraper today, everybody from Black Lives Matter to Human Rights Campaign would be screaming, holy hell. There once was a time in the history of this country when Americans did not forget God and honored Him as Lord and enjoyed the freedom that came as a blessing as a result of it. So Christians, if we do not get down on our knees right now and cry out to God with everything that we've got, there's no chance in the world that is ever going to happen again. The first thing that we need to know about freedom comes from God. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to know about freedom. Freedom not only comes from God, freedom was instituted by our founding fathers. And that's also what the Holy Spirit is telling us here in verse 17 as it regards us Christians in America. But when it comes to the founding of this country, you've got to realize there is a massive misinformation campaign going on. Because the left knows if they can trash the founding of this country, they can trash the freedom that this country was founded on. So Black Lives Matter says America was founded on slavery and racism. Communist Bernie Sanders says America was founded to protect the so-called evils of capitalism. Atheist actor George Clooney says America was founded on secular humanism so people wouldn't have to pray at high school graduation ceremonies. And the reason that so many Americans believe that claptrap is because they don't know beans from apple butter about American history. Heaven's sakes, one out of five millennials thinks Germany won the Civil War. Contrary to popular opinion, America was not founded by ACLU attorneys or People United for the Separation of Church and State, because the vast majority of America's founding fathers were Christians. Now, the left likes to point to the founding fathers who weren't exactly believers, like Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, and then claim that because some of them weren't Christians, that means none of them were Christians. Which is like saying because there's some Sox fans and Cardinals fans around here, there's no Cub fans anywhere in Illinois. And that's crazy. 52 of the 55 signers of the Declaration of Independence were professing Christians, and a lot of them were pastors. And even the founding fathers who weren't exactly born-again evangelicals, even they still had a biblical worldview. Benjamin Franklin led prayer sessions during the Constitutional Convention and said, "There is a God who intervenes in the affairs of men." When Thomas Jefferson was president, he held Christian worship services on Sunday morning in the U.S. Capitol building and even used the U.S. Navy band to lead the worship. The very first official act of the Continental Congress, May 17, 1776, was to declare a national day of prayer and repentance for the country and to order the printing of 20,000 Bibles to be given to American soldiers and to be used in schools so that kids could study. Does that sound like something that an atheist or an ACLU attorney would do? 1776, every single constitution of every single one of the 13 colonies included the name God and Jesus Christ. And every single one of those colonies had a religious test for office. You wanted to serve in government in that colony, you had to be a Christian. Here's the oath of office for the colony of Delaware, 1776. "I profess faith in God the Father and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, and the Holy Ghost, one God, blessed forevermore. And I do acknowledge the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be given by divine inspiration." I know pastors today that couldn't take that oath. Joe Biden from Delaware couldn't take that oath today and mean it. Founding Father Patrick Henry said this, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't call me, don't write me. America was founded by Christians on Christian principles as a Christian nation. Get over it." Do we understand what the founding fathers were really all about? Contrary to popular opinion, America was not founded on Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals or Heather Has Two Mommies, because America was founded on the United States Constitution. And the vast majority of what's in that Constitution is taken directly from the Bible. This absolutely revolutionary idea that the world had never heard of before, that people, by reason and by the help of God, could actually govern themselves without a king. And where did that come from? Exodus chapter 18, verse 22, where Moses says, "Appoint trustworthy men as officials over the people." There's the whole concept of a representative republic. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, "All human beings are sinful, so government power cannot be concentrated in one person like a king. It has to be divided in three different branches, executive, legislative, and judicial." Where did that come from? Isaiah chapter 33, verse 20, "God is our king. He's our lawmaker, and He is our judge." Amen. Raising your hand to take an oath comes from Isaiah chapter 62, verse 8. The idea that you have to be born in the United States to be president of the United States. Where does that come from? Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 10. "No foreigner could be king over Israel." I could go on and on. And because the Constitution came from God, came from the Lord, and where the Spirit of the Lord is freedom, the Constitution is all about freedom. The Constitution tells you what freedoms that you have. Freedom of speech. Freedom of religion. Freedom of assembly. Freedom of expression. So you can question whether or not Joe Biden really got 81 million votes in the 2020 election. You can question the 2020 election, just like the left questions the 2016 election. You do have the right and the freedom to own a gun, and not just to protect yourself from thugs, but to protect yourself from your own government if you have to. You get arrested, you've got a right to an attorney. You've got a right to a fair and speedy trial. I could go on and on. The Constitution is about freedom. And the Constitution not only tells us what we can do, it also tells you what government can't do to you. The government can't force you to house soldiers in your home. Government can't try you for the same crime twice. The government cannot enter your house without a court order. The government cannot search your house without a warrant. The government can't force you to violate your own conscience by baking a gay wedding cake. The government cannot force you to wear a mask or to make you take a COVID shot, which is why they tried to use your boss and your employer and your workplace to try to force you to do it. The Constitution is all about freedom. And I know there's somebody here in this sermon right now saying, Kevin, you talk about being hypocritical. You say the Constitution is all about freedom. The Constitution has slavery in it. Professional race baiter Ibram X. Kendi says this: the Constitution was founded on slavery and a commitment to racial inequality. And you see that in the Fugitive Slave Clause that returned runaway slaves to their owners. The statement that says slavery won't be ended for 20 more years. The notorious Three-Fifths Clause that said black people were only worth three-fifths as much as a white person. And worst of all, the U.S. Constitution of 1787 did absolutely nothing to abolish slavery. And young people, if you've never heard this before, listen to me. You go to college, you are going to hear it. Because there's going to be people at that college called leftists who are going to tell you this because they want you to hate your own country and they want you to be ashamed of it. Black Lives Matter, Ibram X. Kendi, everybody on the left is what's called a Marxist. They absolutely hate this country and want to destroy it by trying to make people think the founding of this country was so racist it needs to be destroyed. And I want to tell you this morning, that is an absolute lie. Race and skin color is not mentioned anywhere in the U.S. Constitution, anywhere. The word slave and the word slavery is not mentioned anywhere in the U.S. Constitution because our founding fathers knew it was wrong and they were ashamed of it. And notice, anytime slavery is referred to or slave, they're referred to as persons because our founding fathers knew slaves were not just property, they were human beings. And the reason the 1787 Constitution didn't abolish slavery is because in 1787, even though half the country in the North wanted to abolish slavery, the other half of the country in the South didn't. And our founding fathers knew if that Constitution of 1787 did try to abolish slavery, the Southern colonies would never sign it and America would never get off the ground. That's why the concessions about returning runaway slaves to their owners. That's why it says slavery will still be in effect for another 20 years. But notice, the Constitution was already putting an end to it. And the whole three-fifths thing, the Southern colonies, even though they didn't treat their slaves like citizens, still wanted to count their slaves as citizens so they could get more representatives in Congress. Founding fathers said, no, we're not going to reward bad behavior. So they only counted three-fifths the total number of slaves in the total population for those states. And nowhere, absolutely nowhere in the Constitution does it ever say that a black person is only worth three-fifths as much as a white person. And also what Ibram X. Kendi knows but won't tell you on purpose, every single free black person in the North, all 60,000 of them, were counted just as equally as a white person was. 20 years after that Constitution was ratified, President Thomas Jefferson made good on his promise and started abolishing the slave trade. So Americans could not invest in the slave trade. No American shipyard could build a ship that could be used in the slave trade. No American ship abroad could be used to transport slaves. Then after the Civil War, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments officially ended slavery and gave black Americans full citizenship rights and full voting rights. I could go on and on and on. No country in the history of the world did more to put an end to slavery than the United States of America. The Constitution of the Confederate States in America, 1861, has this line in it: no law denying or impairing the right of property in Negro slaves shall be passed. So the federal Constitution that really did trash the rights and freedoms of black Americans was not the U.S. Constitution of 1787. It was the Confederate Constitution of 1861, and the Confederacy went out of business 158 years ago. President Abraham Lincoln said this: the Constitution set the act of slavery on the course to ultimate extinction. The Constitution starts out saying, we the people, not we the white people. The Constitution is not racist because our founding fathers were not racist. Do we understand what the founding fathers were really all about? Last April the 18th marked the 248th anniversary of the start of the Revolutionary War, when our founding fathers and farmers and sailors and tradesmen all got together to defend their freedom against the most powerful army on the face of the earth. Early 1775, King George III declared that all American colonies were in a state of rebellion and ordered British General Thomas Gage, in charge of all British troops in North America, to disarm the rebels, to confiscate all guns and gunpowder and ammunition that the Americans had hid all over the place, starting at Lexington and Concord, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston. So April 18th, 1775, 700 British redcoats marched to Lexington, and they were met there by 77 Minutemen, who had been tipped off the night before by Paul Revere that the British were coming. And what most people don't know, the leader of those 77 Minutemen was a man named Jonas Clark, who also happened to be the pastor of the First Parish Church there in Lexington. And the other 76 Minutemen with him were all members of his congregation. And none of them ever owned slaves. And three of those Minutemen were free black citizens because New England was full of them at the time. Every military fighting unit for the Americans in the Revolutionary War was integrated. So let's see. Separation of church and state? No. Christians shouldn't have anything to do with politics? No. Every black person in America back then was a slave? No. Every white person back then in America was a slave owner? No. The Revolutionary War was fought to protect the institution of slavery? No, no, and no. Absolutely ridiculous. Now, Jonas Clark's field commander was Captain John Parker, who had fought in the French and Indian War and knew what he was doing. And even though he was terminally ill with tuberculosis and only had 5 months to live, he wasn't going to miss out on this. And he told his men, let the troops pass by. Don't molest them without them being first. And even though the Americans were outnumbered and outgunned 10-1, Captain Parker said to his men, stand your ground. Don't fire unless fired upon. But if they want a war, let it begin here. And British Major John Pitcairn charged the Americans on his horse, yelling, throw down your arms, you villains, you rebels. Captain Parker told his men, don't fire. Major Pitcairn yelled to his redcoats, surround and disarm them. Then the high-pitched crack of a shot pierced the air, fired by Jonas Clark. And the redcoats charged and fired into the Minutemen from only about 30 yards away, killing and wounding many. And the first one who died was Peter Dresser, a free black man. And Pastor Jonas Clark was shot in the leg and then got bayoneted till his bowels came out. All told, 18 of the Minutemen were killed, including four pairs of fathers and sons. So the first shot of the American Revolution was fired by a pastor, and the first person killed was a free black man fighting for American independence. Put that in your political correctness pipe and smoke it. 3 hours later, the British redcoats marched to Concord. But by that time, over 300 Minutemen had already taken control of the North Bridge that led out of town. And the British didn't find any gunpowder in Concord because the Americans had already taken it and hidden it somewhere else. And at Concord, the British fired first. But the Americans poured it on so bad, it forced the British back to the center of town, where they decided to regroup and march back to Boston, about 15 miles away. And the British band played Yankee Doodle Dandy to make fun of the Americans. And they sent out light infantry into the countryside to protect their column. Because by that time, word had spread so fast like wildfire, dozens and dozens more Minutemen came from all over the place and were descending on that British column. And at a place called Miriam's Corners, they ambushed them. And the Americans hid behind rocks and stone walls and trees, shot at them from their own houses along the road. And it was only 1,300 reinforcements sent out by British Lieutenant Colonel Hugh Percy that kept the Americans from wiping the British out that day completely and totally. But the damage inflicted by the Americans came at a heavy cost, because dozens and dozens of Minutemen were killed or wounded. And a British infantry that fanned out in the countryside looted churches and stole silver communion sets. And when they would come upon an American homestead, they would shoot and kill all the animals and the livestock. And they would loot the houses. And they shot and bayoneted men and women and children, and even shot prisoners after they'd taken them captive. A 59-year-old patriot named Jason Russell refused to surrender to the British inside of his house. So the British soldiers broke into his house, shot and bayoneted him and 12 other members of his family. So eyewitnesses said the blood was ankle deep on the kitchen floor. 78-year-old patriot named Charles Southwaite shot and killed two British soldiers with two of his pistols, refused to surrender. The British broke into his house, shot him 7 times, blew his chin off, bayoneted him 9 times. But amazingly, miraculously, the old coot survived and lived another 18 years and died at the age of 96. Years after the revolution was over, a Minuteman named Levi Preston was asked by a reporter, why did you fight in the Battle of Lexington and Concord? Was it the Stamp Act? Nope, he said. Never saw one of those stamps. Was it the Tea Act? Nope, never drank it. The boys all got rid of that stuff. Then after several more questions asking him what his motives were for fighting the Revolutionary War, Levi Preston finally said this. What we meant in going for those redcoats was this. We had always governed ourselves and we always meant to. They didn't mean that we should. It was about freedom. And for 8 solid years, soldiers just like Levi Preston marched and fought, sick, unpaid, starving, and freezing for the freedoms that you and I take for granted today. So can everybody just get it through our woke, thick heads? The American Revolutionary War was not fought for the separation of church and state to keep kids from praying in school. The American Revolution was not fought to protect capitalism. It wasn't fought to protect slavery. Are you kidding me? The American Revolution was fought for freedom, given to us by God and laid out in the U.S. Constitution. The second thing we need to know about freedom, freedom was instituted by our founding fathers. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to know about freedom. Freedom was given to us by God. Freedom was instituted by our founding fathers. And third, that freedom has been entrusted to us. And that's also what verse 17 is implying here for us Christians in America. President George Washington said this during his first inaugural address. The sacred fire of liberty has been entrusted to the hands of the American people. President Ronald Reagan said this, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Every generation of Americans gets that freedom handed and entrusted to them, and then it's their job to protect it and defend it, and then pass it on to the next generation. Paul says, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, guard the good deposit that you have been entrusted with. He's talking about the gospel and the truth of Christianity and the freedom that comes along with it. So the question is this morning, Christians, are we guarding that good deposit of faith and freedom that's been entrusted to us? Because one of our founding fathers, John Adams, gave us this warning. Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. So it's not enough to have a constitution written on a piece of paper. You've got to have people who are willing to live by what is written on the piece of paper. In order to have freedom, you've got to have a republic. People governing themselves through representatives. But to have a republic, you've got to have moral people who are capable of obeying the law. Otherwise, there's not enough police and National Guard in this country by a long shot if all of a sudden every single one of us wants to drag race or knock off a gas station. In order to have moral people, you've got to have religion. And our founding fathers knew that the only religion, the only faith system in the world that can truly change people's hearts and give them self-control, the only faith system in the world that can enable them to say no to unrighteousness and to obey, Titus chapter 2, verse 13, is Christianity. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Talking about Jesus Christ and the gospel. It's only Christianity that gives us that freedom, not to do what we want to do, but to do what we ought to do and what we need to do. Amen. Our founding fathers knew America would never survive without Christianity. Amen. And all you need to do to realize the founding fathers were right is take a look around. Because we've forgotten God, folks, and as a result, America is going to hell in a basket with two handles. Last March the 27th, a 28-year-old tranny named Audrey Hale shot and killed 6 Christians at the Covenant Presbyterian School in Nashville, Tennessee. And less than 3 days later, less than 72 hours later, before the body of even one of those Christians was even put in the ground, transgender activists stormed the Tennessee State Capitol in Knoxville demanding protection for transgenders, even though it was a transgender that had shot and killed the Christians. And the protesters all held up 7 fingers. 7 fingers standing for 7 victims. 7 victims, of course, counting Audrey Hale herself. The first time in the history of this country that a mass murderer has ever been considered a victim. You don't think something's changed in America? And the New York Times, the paragon of leftist groupthink, that monster murdered 6 people, including 3 9-year-old children, by shooting them in the face. And the very first thing the New York Times did was what? They apologized to Audrey Hale and the entire trans community for misgendering, saying in their reporting, instead of referring to her as a her, they should have referred to her as a he. 6 innocent people slaughtered, and the biggest thing you're worried about is pronouns. Folks, no country can survive this kind of moral stupidity. Last March the 10th, Governor Jared Polis, governor of Colorado, signed a bill making Colorado the 3rd sanctuary state for so-called transgender kids. So now a kid can go to Colorado, and without the parents even knowing about it, Colorado can permanently sterilize them with a drug called Lupron. A drug that the ACLU was argued was too cruel to even be used to chemically castrate rapists and pedophiles. See, it's too cruel for rapists and pedophiles, but it's perfectly fine for 12-year-old kids. And see, if you object to that as part of their gender-affirming care, then you're committing transgenocide. What are you, a transphobe or something? God help us, people. What in the world has happened to this country? Jesus said in the last days, Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, lawlessness would prevail. Last Saturday night, April the 15th, in blue Democrat cities all over America, Philadelphia, New York, Chicago, Portland, Los Angeles, San Francisco, those cities were up for grabs. The video you see on the screen shows young people looting a gas station in Los Angeles. And the cops couldn't do anything about it because defund the police made sure there wasn't even enough cops to respond to it. Last Saturday night, April the 15th, mobs of young people descended on downtown Chicago, shooting people, robbing and beating people, torching cars and buses, breaking into stores, and ransacking stores and businesses. The video you see there on the screen was taken by a mom showing the damage they did to a Walmart.
Every grocery store looks like this. Everything is either on the floor. Look at this. Look at this. Came in the store to try to buy something. I'm not a thief. Look at this. In my hood, can't even get no food for my kids. Babies need milk. Can't even get nothing for my kids, bro.
Still wonder why Walmart left Chicago? But see, the biggest problem in America right now, the biggest threat is Christian nationalism. Right? Look at those kids in Chicago. Video.
At least one of the street takeovers near McCormick Place turned violent, with participants throwing bricks and bottles at police cars and smashing windows. Police say they've also established a caravan task force to tackle the growing problem, which will use city trucks, mobile pod cameras, and tow trucks to block and identify groups.
New Chicago Mayor Black Lives Matter Brandon Johnson said this: "You can't demonize children. Kids are young. They make mistakes. That's what kids do. What we really need to do is stop all the corporations from stealing from them and start making them provide summer jobs that will help show how much character these kids really have." Yeah, the guys I saw in that video look like they're one summer job away from becoming choir boys. Illinois State Senator Rob Porter said this: "Those young men were protesting against poverty and segregation and were just looking for something to eat. Looking for something to eat, they tried to break into the Chicago Art Institute." There's nothing to eat in the Chicago Art Institute. Wake up, people. This is not about poverty. It's not about segregation. It's not about reparations. This is civilizational suicide. Look at these young people. No fathers, no homes, no families, no values, no education, no God, no faith in God. People, the problem is not our guns. The problem is your sons. There grew up a generation that neither remembered the Lord or what He had done for Israel. America is dying, people. Right in front of our very eyes. Just like the left wants it to. The spirit of Antichrist is all over this country. Morals and freedoms and values and Christian faith and the freedom that comes along with that. Guard the good deposit that you've been entrusted with. Do we see why this matters? And I know there's somebody here in the sermon right now. You say, okay, Kevin, it's really bad. What am I supposed to do about it? What in the world is one person supposed to do about it? You can do what she did. Last Saturday night, April the 15th, when all hell broke loose in downtown Chicago, a young couple from out of state, 20-year-old Ashley Knudsen, and her boyfriend, 22-year-old Devontae Johnson, were shopping on Wabash Avenue looking for a place to eat when all of a sudden a horde of about 100 young people just descended on them. And then one of them pushed Ashley Knudsen. And when Devontae Johnson said, stop that, who did that, that happened.
The shrieking is the sound of pure panic. In this cell phone video shared by CWB, that's Ashley Knudsen at the center of...
Crowd started beating on Devontae Johnson, knocked him to the ground with over 20 of them kicking and pounding and stomping on so you couldn't even see him there. And then they knocked Ashley Knudsen to the ground. And that girl was scared to death she was going to be killed because the mob told her that they were going to kill him. And the beating and the pounding and the stomping on them. And they stole their money and their credit cards and their watches. They even stole their shoes. And when a police car drove by, the cops looked over and saw what was going on. They saw what was happening. But because the cops were so outmanned and so outnumbered that night, they didn't even stop and kept on driving. So the crowd just kept pounding on them and beating on that couple over and over again. And right when it looked like that mob was going to beat that couple to death, all of a sudden, a 56-year-old woman named Lorna Dennis stepped out of a Macy's store. Born-again Christian and a mother. Saw what was happening. Literally ran out in the street and stopped another police car by standing in front of it and say, look, there's a beatdown going over there. You've got to get out of your car. You've got to go over there and stop it. But again, the cops were so outnumbered and so outmanned, they just looked at her, didn't stop, and kept driving. So Lorna Dennis realized she needed to do something about it. So you heard of a tsunami? That woman became a tsunami. Crossed that street, went up to those thugs, and gave them a mega mom holy hell like you would not believe. You stop that. In the name of Jesus, you stop that. You stop beating that couple and you get them off the ground. Get thou behind me, Satan, and you get out of here. Get out of here. Don't make me have to tell you to do that again. The video you see on the screen.
At that point, Dennis said she had no choice.
I just ran over there and just kind of started cursing at them and told them to get away and go and, you know, like a mom would do, like when you see a bunch of kids.
And after that, you don't see anything because the mushroom cloud melted the security camera. Behold the power of mom. And folks, that woman was outnumbered 100-1, and that mob could have turned on her and started wailing on her just like they did that young couple, but they didn't. Because Lorna Dennis had something that they didn't, and that's the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from fear, freedom from worry, freedom from intimidation. And with freedom in the Holy Spirit, there comes power of the Holy Spirit. So when she led into those young people, what do you know? Instead of jumping on her, they just ran away. Because they weren't going to touch her if their life depended on it. That woman took authority in the Holy Spirit and those hoodlums turned tail and ran. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 17, you can put 1,000 to flight because the Lord your God will fight for you. And after that mob took off, Lorna Dennis put that couple in her own car, drove them to a hospital, got them treated, gave them a phone, and gave them $40 so they could get back to their Airbnb back in the suburbs. You talk about a good Samaritan. This is what Lorna Dennis said.
Stripped of their cell phones, credit cards, and even the shoes off their feet, Dennis swooped in and sped the beaten and bloodied couple away to safety. They'll never forget that.
All I can say is I was put there.
She was put there. And could everybody just take a second here and notice the colors? Ashley Knutson is white. Her boyfriend is black. Lorna Dennis is black. So can everybody just take a chill pill and take a breath for just one second and realize there's absolutely nothing racist about what happened there. This is not about black and white. It's only about right and wrong. Lorna Dennis said this, we can't keep doing the same things we did in the past. We have to do something different to get control of this. And Christian, she's right. In times like these, in these last days when all hell's breaking loose and everything's coming unglued and people and their freedoms are getting a beat down right and left, we can't keep doing the same things we've done in the past. You can't trust on government to fix the problem because government too many times is causing the problem. You got to realize with freedom, there comes power, and you have a lot more freedom and a lot more power than you will ever know. So I don't care how many people you're up against. I don't care how big they are. I don't care how scary they look. You channel your inner mama bear and papa bear. Show up, stand up, speak up, take authority over that spirit of Antichrist, and you can put 1,000 devils to flight too. Because where the spirit of the Lord is, the power of the Lord is, and the Lord will fight your battle for you, just like He did for Lorna Dennis. Did you catch that last thing that she said? She said, I feel like I was put there. And you know what? She was put there. God put her there. God put her there specifically in that situation at that moment in history so she could stand up for freedom and get other people free too. And Christians, we've got to realize exactly the same thing is true for us. God has put us here. Specifically here, in this situation, at this moment in time, in the history of this country, so that we can stand up for freedom and get other people free too. I'm going to have the band come up. Before the Revolutionary War started, the Americans had a symbol for freedom. It was a big old elm tree that stood in Boston, Massachusetts. And because patriots used that tree for a meeting place, and planned all kinds of activities to rebel against England under that tree. That tree became known as the Liberty Tree. 1765, when England passed the Stamp Act, the very first act of open rebellion against England happened under that tree with a protest and a demonstration. And then 1766, when England repealed the Stamp Act, everybody and their brother met under that tree again to celebrate because they had taken a stand for freedom and they won. So that tree became known as the Liberty Tree, a tree. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. He who trusts in the Lord is like a tree planted by the water that will not be moved. Christians, God has put us here. And we ain't going anywhere until the rapture comes. We are here. And we're just like that tree planted by the water. We are planted by God here. And we shall not be moved either. Though all hell assail me, I will not be moved. Jesus will not fail me. I shall not be moved.
Please stand and sing with us if you're able.
We shall not be moved.
We shall not.
Brothers together, we shall not be moved. We're brothers together, we shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, we shall not be moved. We shall not. We shall not.
If you're here today and you need prayer for anything, please come forward. We believe in laying on of hands, anointing of oil. We'll pray for health. We'll pray for anything. You need salvation. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. You don't understand the thing about the cross and the blood. Come forward if you've got questions. Ask about that. Don't leave the church today if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Whatever the need, you come. Go in peace.